Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
Get on your horse, because there's a big game played on this day, and there's also a very important meeting in pro football history, and we're going to discuss these topics and more coming up in your football history headlines in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we are podcasting from America's North Shore, bringing you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So in taking the snap from the sportshistorynetwork.com and handing off to pigskindispatch.com, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of pigskindispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we have some very, very positive football history today for this July 14th edition of our football history headlines and birthdays of Hall of Famers. And boy, we have some great news to talk about. So let's get right at it, and we'll start off, as we normally do, with our newspapers.com football history headline of the day. And it's from the Akron Beacon on July 15th, 1919, with their headline of McGinnis joins with Indians. One professional football team will be put in field in Akron. The article states that six cities were represented at a meeting of professional footballers in Canton, Ohio. Cleveland, Youngstown, Massillon, Columbus, Akron, and Canton were all represented, and intentions of participation were sent by teams from Toledo and Dayton, who were unable to attend Monday evening meeting. A second meeting was scheduled for Wednesday, July 16th in Akron, and would be for scheduling games in the Ohio League. The article says this would be the first time that teams would play under a scheduled games, and the winner of the Ohio League would be crowned world champions. Well, author Chris Willis, in his book, The Man Who Built the National Football League, Joe F. Carr, contends that the second meeting scheduled for that Wednesday, July 16th, never occurred, as after all, football had been interrupted by World War I for a couple of seasons, and the teams were just happy to be at that July 14th meeting and to be playing again. The teams that were represented at this football meeting in Canton at the Cortland Hotel were the new owner of the Canton Bulldogs, auto dealer Ralph Hay, Mac McGinnis of the Akron Pros, Jack Donahue and Jack Whalen of the Massillon Tigers, Joe Dunn of the Minneapolis Marines, Walter H. Flanagan of the Rock Island Independents, Curly Lambeau of Green Bay, and the Hammond All-Stars, and of course, Joe Carr as the envoy of the Columbus Panhandles, among others, according to Chris Willis. The meeting was originally intended to garner interest in starting an official pro circuit league, but when the teams could not even agree on the principles of salary restrictions when the meeting adjourned, they all went their separate ways, scheduling teams that they could, independent from each other. Though on the surface, this meeting appeared to be a flop in organizing a formal league, it set the stage for the beginnings of the American Professional Football Association, the APFA, that would organize just 1 year later. Yes, part of that being the September 17th, 1920, famous meeting in Ralph Hayes' Hupmobile showroom. For more on how to get a copy of Chris Willis's great book on Joe Carr, we have some links on our website, pigskindispatch.com, for this July 14th website. And there's more to come from that. We're going to be talking to Chris a lot more about this book in a couple more episodes coming up. There'll be special episodes. So please look forward to that and support him. He's a great author, and I think you'll really enjoy his work. July 14th, 1951, a horse race at the Hollywood Gold Cup on CBS became the first color television transmission of a sporting event. it wouldn't be long before the wonderful technicolors of the gridiron would light up the boxes and living rooms all around the country for everybody to enjoy. And today we sort of take it for granted, but you know, if we didn't have football on our televisions in our living rooms, life would be a much sadder and unhappy place. We'd probably have to find some other thing to do, you know, like wash the windows or something, and the wives would cheer everywhere. July 14th, 1985, the last game of the startup USFL, the United States Football League, was played in an exciting fashion as the Baltimore Stars defeated the Oakland Invaders by the score of 28-24 in the league's championship game at Giants Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, according to the News, a Paterson, New Jersey newspaper. Quarterback Bobby Hebert had a solid game for the Invaders, and he was thought that by many that the NFL suitors would be clamoring for his services if the USFL did break up. More on that coming up in a future episode. July 14th, 2020, the Cleveland Browns ink Myles Garrett to a five-year, $125 million contract extension that will keep the prolific pass rusher in Cleveland until he reaches 30 years old. Quite a signing there. Now, if you want to be able to read through some old articles, like we did through the News and the Akron Beacon, you need to check out newspapers.com. At newspapers.com, you get access to over 640 million pages worth of news from the U.S., Canada, England, Scotland, Ireland, and more, dating all the way back to 1798, and you can even read yesterday's news. Get a free one-week subscription to newspapers.com by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers, and with a paid subscription, you'll also be helping to support the production of this and other Sports History Network shows. Get that pencil ready. We're going to read off that address one more time. sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. Free 7 days. You're going to love it. Now let's go to our birthdays of Hall of Famers for this July 14th. We'll start off in the year 1911. Carrollton, Mississippi. Riley Smith is enshrined in the College Football Hall of Fame as a quarterback out of the University of Alabama. The National Football Foundation claims that this 6'1", 195-pounder could pass, block, punt, kick extra points, and boot field goals. Yes, just about anything on the gridiron. In 1935, he was named to the All-American teams of the Associated Press, Collier's Magazine, and the All-American Board. He also won the Jacobs Trophy as the best blocker in Southeastern Conference that year. And in the late 1930s, Mr. Riley served as the quarterback for the Washington Redskins in the NFL. He later became the head coach of the Washington and Lee University for their football program. July 14th, 1922, Honolulu, Hawaii. Robert Olds, he played tackle on both offense and defense for Army in the 1940s. His stellar play gave him entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1985's induction class. His play in the 1942 earned him the Player of the Year by Grantland Rice and Lineman of the Year by Collier's Weekly Magazine. Mr. Olds famously returned to a game with a cheering crowd after earlier losing multiple teeth while making a tackle in the 1942 Army-Navy game. Can you imagine that? Early in a game, you make a tackle, no face masks back then, or very few face masks, and took that tackle, took something right in the choppers, and lost some of those chiclets. Probably went out with a lot of blood coming out of his mouth. Leaves, comes back out, the crowd starts roaring, gets him fired up, and he plays in that game again with a couple more gaps in his teeth. But hey, that's what you were when you were a football player back in that era before the face masks. July 14th, 1928, Hamlin, Texas. Brad Rowland, the halfback out of the McMurray University of Abilene, Texas, was selected to enter in the College Football Hall of Fame in 2008. Well, he was born at July 14, 1928 date. He was voted as an All-American player twice in his college career. And after graduation, Mr. Rowland, he played for the Chicago Bears. Not a bad football life for him. July 14, 1971, Mount Gilead, Ohio. Bill Royce, he's a former college defensive end from Ashland University who was elected into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2016. Mr. Royce set an NCAA record during his college career with 71 sacks. Yes, he took the quarterback down 71 times behind the line of scrimmage with the ball. That is some pretty good statistics for a college player. Bill Royce, College Football Hall of Fame. Now, if you want to learn about the stats of some more people that were born on July 14th and played professional football, check out Pro Football Reference. You just go to profootballreference.com and click on the date. You know, if you look on July 14th like it is today, you click on that date, all the pro football players that played at the professional level that they have in their database will show up there, and you can find your favorite stars born on July 14th. And maybe even some of our folks that we had up here in the College Football Hall of Fame that we talked about today. Probably find some of those on there too. We did have some NFLers on there, but not at Pro Football Hall of Fame. So we're sure glad you could join us once again. We hope that you'll check us out on Twitter at Pigskin Dispatch. Go to the subreddit on Reddit of our sports history and find us posting there each and every day. We also post on LinkedIn and on Facebook. We have a Pigskin Dispatch page. You'll see us post regularly on both of those channels as well of social media. If you want to email us at you can go to pigskindispatch@gmail.com. You can also find us, our website is pigskindispatch.com. You can also find us on the sportshistorynetwork.com, where we have all of our other fellow podcasters and partners of the Sports History are there to bring you some great sports history in a great wide breadth of genres of sports history from many different eras and timelines. And I think you'll enjoy that and find some great podcasts there for listening to. So if you got some time on your hands, you can do some great binge listening over at sportshistorynetwork.com. So until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude. And I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck, because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.